Would the members please vote to signify their presence?
All members have voted.
The roll shows all senators present today.
Please stand for the invocation.
Dear Father, we thank you for this life. May its challenges become a source of perseverance. May we never give up. We do not enjoy failure, but at times we fail despite our best efforts. Grant us the grace to stand and continue the struggle just the same. And in the end, grant us accomplishment. We thank you for the people who assist us diligently, pages, aides, secretaries, clerks, our staffs. We ask for them also a sense of accomplishment. I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Senator Sackett, we'll be at ease. Please come back to the order. The secretary certifies the correctness of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 31st.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spelled on the journal.
Objection. Secretary, proceed.
I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 31st legislative day and Senate Supplement Number 50.
Under rank.
Mr. President, I move the journal for the 31st legislative day and Senate Supplement Number 50 be approved as certified.
Objection, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Senator Sackett.
Mr. President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce a constituent of mine from the Lower Kuskokwim School District, the superintendent for that school district, Sue Hare, who is directly behind me.
Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce to the body today a constituent from Valdez. He's here representing Valdez Chamber of Commerce on the State Chamber Board. He's manager for public affairs for Alyeska. Mr. Lyle Van Bargen.
We welcome you both here this morning. Are there messages from the governor this morning?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
There are messages from the House.
Message of February 8th, the House passed the following in return. Committee Substitute Percent Bill Number 134, LNC, Surety Bond and Financial Requirements for Insurers, the Surplus Lines. This bill has been sent to enrolling. That is the only message from the House.
Are there communications?
There is a communication, a report, Alaska Public Defender Agency Annual Report, Fiscal Year 1983, in accordance with AS 1885-160. A letter from the Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development, Richard A. Lyon. Dear Senator Curtula, in accordance with AS 37-535, I am pleased to transmit the annual report for state loan programs administered by the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. In general, since loans made by the Department are not awarded with reference to applicants' incomes, that information has not been made part of the report. The report will be on file. February 8, Dear Senator Curtula, from Department of Commerce and Economic Development, Richard A. Lyon, Commissioner, enclosed is a copy of the report of the possible development of a program to determine wholesale price averages for salmon products. This is as required by Statute Chapter 49, Session Laws 1983, House Bill 381. This will also be on file in the Secretary's office. Those are the communications.
Fisheries Subcommittee and the Natural Resources Committee may wish to look at that. Are the reports of standing committees?
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution Number 30, Enforcement of Child Support Obligations, and recommends due pass with an amendment. Signed, Senator Ray, Chairman, concurring Senators Ziegler, Josephson, Pettyjohn, and Eliason. SJR 30 has a further referral to Finance. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill Number 130, Special Appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for CPR Mannequins and Films, and recommends due pass with an amendment. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Sackett, Ferguson, Vic Fisher, Fakes, Mulcahy, and Josephson. Senate Bill 130 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill Number 349, Recreational Activities in State Parks, and recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute rules and calendar on February 9, signed Senator Figg's chairman, concurring Senators Ray, Bennett, Kelly, and Ferguson. This does appear on today's calendar. The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 364, Special Appropriations to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and to certain communities and municipalities for erosion control projects and feasibility studies, and recommends to be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title and do pass, signed Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senators Sackett, Ferguson, McFisher, Mulcahy, Josephson, and Fakes. SB 364 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for placement on the calendar.
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill number 381, making appropriations for a statewide crime lab facility in Anchorage. Senator Ray, chairman, and Senators Ziegler, Josephson, and Pettyjohn signed due pass. Senator Eliason signed no recommendation. Senate Bill 381 has a further referral to finance. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill number 397, extending the termination date of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, and the committee recommends due pass, signed Senator Ray, chairman, concurring Senators Ziegler, Josephson, Pettyjohn, and Eliason. Senate Bill 397 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Bill number 403, making special appropriation for capital projects, and recommends the Finance Committee substitute and calendar February 9. Signed Senator Figg's chairman, concurring Senators Ray, Bennett, Kelly, and Ferguson. This does appear in today's calendar.
Senator Ray. Come back to order.
Those are the standing committee reports today.
There are reports of special committees.
February 9, 1984, Mr. President and Mr. Speaker, the Conference Committee, considering CSSB 257 Jude M. and House Committee Substitute or Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 257, Judiciary Amended House, Standard of Conduct for Legislators, requests limited powers of pre-conference to consider substantially the following changes to CSSB 257 Jude M. There follows 17 items. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, Senators Vic Fisher and Josephson, Representative Bettesworth, Chairman, Representatives Furness and Coxon.
Materials are on everyone's desk. To grant the limited powers of free conference, please note the Secretary of the Senate for the record. Are there...
That is the only special.
That is the only special committee
report. There are resolutions for introduction.
Senate Resolution Number 9 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee relating to a state policy for the developmentally disabled.
Health, Education, Social Services.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 35 by Senators Pettyjohn, Fakes, Strzelczyk, Paul Fisher, Hofford, and Gilman relating to a legislative hall for the legislature.
State Affairs, Finance.
Those are the new resolutions.
There are bills for first reading reference.
Senate Bill Number 426 by Senators Ferguson and Sackett, an act relating to University of Alaska scholarships for natives.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 427 by Senator Fahrenkamp by request, an act repealing the pooled music copyright law and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 428 by Senator Josephson, an act relating to vital statistics records.
Community Regional Affairs, Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 429 by Senator Ferguson, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for a reindeer research and development facility on the Seward Peninsula.
Resources, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 430 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to licensing and regulation of the sale and distribution of alcoholic beverages and providing for an effective date with a fiscal note.
Judiciary, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 431 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the purchase of residential child care services and providing for an effective date with the fiscal note.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 432 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act amending the Alaska Securities Act.
Commerce, Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 433 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the registration of heavy vehicles and providing for an effective date with a fiscal note.
Commerce, State Affairs could have this too because it's on a public service, but I'll put Commerce and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 434 in the Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act extending the termination date of the Board of Pharmacy and providing for an effective date.
Commerce.
Senate Bill Number 435 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act extending the termination date of the Board of Barbers and Hairdressers and providing for an effective date.
Commerce.
Senate Bill number 436 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act extending the termination date of the Board of Public Accountancy and providing for an effective date.
Commerce.
Senate Bill number 437 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act extending the termination date of the Board of Examiners in Optometry and providing for an effective date.
Commerce.
Senate Bill number 438 by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act extending the termination date of the State Board of Registration for Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce.
Senate Bill number 439, the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act extending the termination date of the Board of Chiropractic Examiners and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce.
Senate Bill number 440 by Senator Petula, an act relating to protection of agricultural land and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill number 441 by Senators Rohde, Moss, Dick Fisher, Sturzulewski, Yeoman, and Ferguson, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for the Senior Citizens Housing Development Fund and providing for an effective date.
Community Regional Affairs Finance.
Senate Bill number 442 by Senator Paul Fisher, an act relating to a grant of state land to the city of Whittier.
Let's say Resources and Finance, however Community Regional Affairs may wish it.
Senate Bill number 443 by Senators Moss, Bennett, and Ferguson, an act relating to the Rural Electrification Loan Fund.
Resources and Finance.
Those are the new bills.
Takes us to the daily calendar. Secretary, please read the calendar. First bill is Senate Bill 403 by title and author.
Senate Bill number 403. By the Finance Committee, an act making special appropriations for capital projects and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute and do pass with a new title. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring Senator Sackett, Ferguson, Vic Fisher, Josephson, Fakes, and Mulcahy. There is a committee substitute.
To the committee substitute, rules chairperson.
Yes, Mr. President, I move the committee substitute for Senate Bill 403. The primary difference is the sum of money and the number of projects in it. The committee substitute has a total of $64,299,800, and the original bill was $92 million plus. I ask unanimous consent.
Objection. So ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 403, financed by the Finance Committee, an act making special appropriations for capital projects and providing for an effective date.
Are there amendments?
There is an amendment number one by Senator Paul Fisher, page 7, line 6, Kenai Peninsula Borough, 10 Classroom Edition, ED5, $2,940, Soldotna Junior High.
Senator Fisher. Senator Sackett.
Yes. Senator Sackett. Can we get these passed out if we're going to have an amendment?
Are the amendments passed out? We'll be at ease. We'll be at ease. We come to order. Every member, I presume, has a copy of the amendment. Please bring the floor leader a copy of the amendment, Sergeant of Arms. Senator Fisher, have you moved the amendment?
No.
You have the floor,
President,
Senator.
I move amendment number one and ask for unanimous consent.
Objections noted. You have the floor, Senator.
Yes, Mr. President, the reason why I put in the amendment, I recognize that there can be an oversight, even by myself. I'm not subject to being perfect, or by the Finance Committee. What this does, Mr. President, I just took the State Department of Education priorities and went halfway down their list and came up with a total of $10,460,000. But instead of submitting it all, I just looked at the first project that was of high priority that would involve the House District 5. And it came out Kenai Junior High, which was 6.940. I left $4 million there, still assuming that the local effort should still be there. And I'm asking this body to help out with just 2.9 of that particular building.
You have the floor, Rules Chairperson.
Mr. President, my colleague from the Kenai Peninsula is a part of the Anchorage Caucus and has been a part of the Anchorage Caucus since it was formed.
And the Anchorage caucus met, all senators in the Anchorage caucus met or were invited to meet at least five times to go over projects. And every project in this bill that has to do with Anchorage or and those members of the caucus were went together by the 27 members of that body. This is a consensus of the 27 members of the Anchorage caucus that belong to this legislature. And at no time in those deliberations did my colleague from the Kenai Peninsula come to us with this particular need. And I feel that the appropriate place for the first initial stab at this particular project would have been in that caucus. I need the body to know that on Anchorage's first page of priority ones, there were $67+ million worth of school needs, that most of which are not even addressed in here, because the needs for schools statewide is so great that this is merely a drop in the bucket to the need out there to house students and to make really critical repairs on roofs. Some schools, the roofs are falling down. Other schools are double shifting. The needs are absolutely critical out there. And in this bill, no way tries to justify that this is all the needs in the state. But these are the critical needs, and I would think that more bills to come and that this particular school, if it's that vital, could appear in other appropriations bills as they come through this body.
Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to point out just the mechanics of this process, if I might, to my colleagues, which may shed a little bit of light on the debate this morning. The document before the Senate and the body to vote on is only part of the appropriation, which ultimately will go to the governor for his signature, hopefully. The House will process the document, and also the government, the governor's administration will add items in the House Finance Chamber, and ultimately a complete document will come back over here for concurrence or to go to conference committee. So what I'm saying is, I think, is that right now we are looking at something less than half of what the ultimate appropriation will be. There'll be the House input and the governor's input to be added. So we may be in the middle of a fire drill before the smoke ever starts. Thank you.
Senator Gilman.
May I have a brief at ease?
Be at ease. Let's please come to order. I know now that we wait longer for the Secretary of the Senate than we do the Finance Chairman. Order of importance. Senator Fisher, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I would like to respond to the rural chairwoman. As to the caucus, the Anchorage caucus, Mr. President, I respect the integrity of that caucus in the sense that it is an Anchorage caucus, and I felt that there would be no need to discuss House District 5 nor House District 6 needs. However, House District 7 needs, I felt I was compelled to at least talk about at that caucus. I want to really thank the senator from Fairbanks, who had indicated that there might be other means of achieving the same end. And with that in mind, Mr. President, I would move that the bill be held over a day, which would give me a chance to meet with some of the senior members of this body to find out what some of these other vehicles may be in the future. So I do request.
Senator, now you have a motion before us to adopt an amendment. I don't think that is an appropriate motion to make by you to hold it over unless you wish to withdraw the amendment. Or...
Mr. President, then I withdraw the amendment.
Now, the bill will be held in, will be in second reading. In the normal course of events, will go to third. And the privilege has always been granted, would be granted by me, to return for specific amendment to second reading tomorrow. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, just a question about parliamentary procedure.
Yes, sir.
And your statement that you just made.
Yes, sir.
Are you saying that we will vote on, we'll go to third reading today, vote on the bill, put it under reconsideration? Is that your intention, sir? Is that
if we're allowed to do so, otherwise we'll just remain in second reading, naturally going to third without the motion. Senator Bennett, did you wish the floor?
Do we have brief at ease?
We'll be at ease. Senate Police comes back to order for the edification of the body. Would be my intention not to entertain a motion to move it to third reading, but that tomorrow the proponents of the amendment, of course, have the opportunity and would be extended courtesy to go back second reading for specific amendment, but would not give notice reconsideration. Now, if we have notice reconsideration tomorrow, we'll have a Saturday session because we have to move this on. So put that into the plans of the body, please. Secretary, please, are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Absence of further amendments, we will not entertain a motion to go to third reading today. Secretary, please read Senate Bill 349.
Senate Bill number 349 by Senators Fakes, Curtula, Bennett, Hofford, and Pettyjohn, an act relating to recreational activities in state parks, was returned to the Rules Committee. The Rules Committee reconsidered this bill and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute and placed on the February 9 calendar. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Ray, Bennett, Kelly, and Ferguson.
There is a new title on that bill.
There is a title, yes. Senator Ray?
I would move the new title.
Senator Ray moves the title change. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, do we have to move the CS?
Yes.
Yes, I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 349. The difference, sir, is the title change, and I ask unanimous consent.
Objection. May substitute title change the noted. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for Senate Bill number 349, Rules for the Rules Committee, an act relating to the use of animals for recreational activities in state parks.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Senator Bray.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 349 be considered engrossed and asked third reading and place of final passage.
Without objection. So ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for Senate Bill number 349, Rules, an act relating to the use of animals for recreational activities in state parks.
The bill is before you for discussion debate. All right, ready for the question? It's an old friend. The question is, shall Senate Bill 349 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary, close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, 1 nay.
Legislation has been adopted by the Senate. Is there a citation calendar?
Citation honoring Felix J. Toner by Senators Ray, Curtula, Vic Fisher, Ziegler, and Rohde, and Representatives M.M. Miller and Duncan.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and the publication and the notice requirements on the citation honoring Emil Kowalczyk be waived and that citation be taken up in the special order of business at this time.
Objection. So ordered. Secretary Reed. Senator, you have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added to the Felix Toner citation.
Without objection. Please proceed.
Citation honoring Emil Kowalczyk by Representatives M.M. Miller and Duncan and Senators Ray, Gilman, and Vic Fisher.
Senator Ray.
If there are no other additions, Mr. President, I move that the citation calendar be approved as read.
Without objection, citation calendar has been adopted. Takes us down to unfinished business this morning. Announcement of committee meetings. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, at 3 o'clock today, the Hess Committee will hold a session to review the status of litigation and challenging the legality of our Capital School funding system. And it is listed at page 1993 of the Senate Journal as an executive session, which it is. I want to make it clear the purpose of that executive session is to allow a briefing by the Department of Law about pending litigation affecting the finances of the state. And as I understand it from staff, the only basis on which we could get this briefing is in an executive session because of the cases currently pending in court. However, all members of the Senate are invited to that briefing.
Where will it be again? 3 p.m.?
In the Butkovich Room at 3 o'clock.
3 p.m., Butkovich Room. You have the floor, Resources Chairperson.
Mr. Chairman, this Friday at 3 p.m. in the Belts Room, we'll be taking up Senate Bill 371, an act relating to mining and providing for an effective date. And at 4 p.m. this afternoon, there's budget and audit in Room 519.
Budget and audit. Senator Victor Fisher.
As President of State Affairs is meeting at 3 p.m. today in Butkovich. Several items, Executive Order 56, transferring distribution of session laws. SB 386, displaced homemakers. SB 387, leave time for state employees. 323, income of pioneer home residents. And HB 110, avalanche and fire weather forecasting system.
Senator Strzelczewski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to announce to anyone that might be interested in attending, I was asked by the older persons action group to have a teleconference on some of the issues facing older persons action group and the senior citizens. That's going to be held tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Sites to be in will be Juneau, the Mat-Su Valley, apparently, and the Anchorage Senior Citizen Center will be hooked in. 7:30, 30-minute conference. You're all welcome. I'm pleased Senator Josephson is going to be in Anchorage, but we'll be sitting in there. And I think issues, certainly longevity, the citizens' tax relief, housing development fund, older Lashton Commission funding, those kind of issues might come up, and I would welcome anyone to be there and just hear some views. Thank you.
Commerce Chairman.
Meet this afternoon at 1:30 in the Belts Room. We're taking up a teleconference on an act relating to motor vehicle warranties, Lemon Law.
Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, the Anchorage Caucus will meet at noon today in the Butterbidge Room. The minority will caucus immediately on adjournment in the Butterbidge Room.
Finance Chairman?
The Finance Committee will meet on February 16th at 9 a.m., taking up Senate Bill 322, an act relating to Alaska Agricultural Loan Board.
Senator Moss?
Mr. President, the Senate Transportation Committee will continue markup work on the transportation bills on railroads at 1:30 in the Butterbidge Room.
1:30, the Butterbidge Room, Alaska Railroad legislation. Senator A?
Mr. President, this, I suppose, would come under announcements. Just a reminder, the 35th day is coming in, two more days?
Sunday, I believe that we can extend that to Monday for the final.
Monday would be your final day for personal bills, introduction of personal bills. Of course, that does not preclude the committee chairman from putting in bills that are supported by the committees. But the personal bills will no longer be accepted after that date.
That's under the joint rules. The it would be my intention, subject to the will of the body, to have, about a 9 a.m. session on Thursday. That will allow the delegation that is going to meet with the Washington State Legislature to take the 11 o'clock flight to Seattle. And because of the activities and the activities of this body and the activities in Anchorage, it would not be a Friday session. We'd come back in Monday, sometime after flight arrival, plugging into you. So we'd be an early morning or earlier in the day meeting next Thursday. Are there items under special orders? Senator Pettyjohn has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that I be allowed the privilege of the floor to discuss the resolution I introduced today.
You may discuss it, Senator.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I personally drafted this resolution, and when I did it, I was careful that it did not include anything other than the subject of a legislative hall here in Juneau. It is not, has nothing to do with the capital move. It's not a backdoor capital move issue. It's not an effort to move the legislature to Anchorage or to build a legislative hall in Anchorage, and it's not a partisan attack on the administration. What it is a resolution stating that if the executive is going to construct a hall for this body to conduct its business in, then it should consult this body and get its approval before it does it. The Alaska legislature has spoken in the past about its prerogatives over the use of its space. Some years ago, it passed Alaska Statute 2405-190, and that statute provides that the legislature shall control the space of this Capitol building. It's clear, the clear intention was that we do not want the executive to have the privilege of controlling our office space or anything else the way we conduct our business. We're going to control that ourselves. If they put up a legislative hall without our consent, without our direction, that building will not be controlled by this legislature, and everybody in the legislature is going to be going to the executive to either get a
shades on their window or their office space or anything else. The legislature also spoke some years ago and passed Alaska Statute 3705-280. That statute granted the administration the authority to enter leases, but it conditioned that authority by saying you have to come to the legislature to get approval of a lease that provides for over $12,000 a year in payments. Now, this legislative hall is going to call for millions of dollars a year in payments. And I consider it a breach of the separation of powers doctrine for the executive to make a commitment to like that, particularly for a legislative hall, without getting the approval of this body. I've heard remarks that while we're consulting, the executive is consulting with members, and people have been appointed to talk to the legislature. I was not aware until a couple days ago. And I note that the uniform rules of this legislature state that the Rules Committee has jurisdiction over the internal administration of this House and management pertaining to the management of the legislature. So far as I know, no member of the Rules Committee has been delegated or is speaking on behalf of this body with regard to this new hall. In fact, the chairman of the Rules Committee is a co-sponsor of this resolution. And I've heard remarks, well, the legislature appropriated $4.5 million last year for this. I heard on the radio this morning a legislator saying that is a de facto approval. But I take strong exception to that because, in fact, when that appropriation came before us at the latter part of June of last year, Senator Halford offered an amendment to have it deleted and said this may be for a legislative hall. The Honorable Senator from Juneau, who's represented this town ably and well for 20 years, got up and said, I am not aware of that. I am not aware of a plan to use this money for a legislative hall. This is the plans are currently to put an addition onto the state office building. So if the senator from Juneau was not aware that this was afoot, what member of the legislature was? And if none of us knew about it, why was it going on? 2 months later, after that floor debate, and after the senator denied any knowledge of plans afoot for a legislative hall with the use of that money, they came out on September 15th with a report, a site evaluation report, Alaska Legislative Hall. It's a very detailed report. It's got all kinds of diagrams, graphics, they did soils analysis, everything you could think of for varying sites for a legislative hall. Well, if they're going to build a hall for this legislature, let them come to the legislature and get our approval. They haven't done that. I'd just like to further state, Mr. President, that if an entity is going to go out and sell bonds with the expectation that the executive department is going to sign a lease for the rental of a $100 million building, I think they are on very dangerous waters. I, for one, will refuse to vote for any appropriation for a lease of a legislative hall in Juneau or anywhere else that has not been approved by this legislature. And I think they're in dangerous ground. Thank you.
I do not wish to respond, but I do wish to give you some information. I've had conversations with the governor, and it is my belief that the executive is strongly considering at this time introduction of at least a resolution of request for all lease of substance or lease construction or lease purchase contracts covering several areas, the Anchorage office building is another one, putting them in a piece of legislation for the legislative approval. And I believe that's the course the executive intends to take. I think many of us have had some problems with lease purchases and with leasing in the past. Former Governor Hammond spoke to it, if I might be so bold as to say, when he wiped out the right of ASHA to do this very thing under a resolution process. In any event, I've had detailed conversation with the governor as late as this morning on this subject, and it is my belief he's going to come up with a method of presentation of all leases and of substance and all suggested building construction leases, and give that vehicle the legislature for decision. Rules Chairperson, we're seeking a floor.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent to be allowed to speak on the same subject.
Yes, you have
the
privilege.
Just to clear the record, sir, I do support the resolution by my colleague from South Anchorage, but for the body's information, both the administration sent myself as rules chairman a letter in the early part of the summer requesting my participation on that committee. You yourself and several members of this body wrote me letters requesting my, you asked me to participate on that body as a member and chairman of the Rules Committee, and I had to respectfully decline for, quite frankly, political reasons. And I just wanted the body to know that you, the leadership of the Senate certainly did its part in trying to get the Senate represented, and the reason the Senate hasn't been represented all these months is because of my unwillingness to serve on that body.
Senator Josen, you have the floor on the same subject.
On the same subject. The President asked me to serve on that body, and for political reasons, I accepted. Mr. President, as I said to a group the other day, I'm not sure that the President did me a favor by that invitation, but I think that it is an important responsibility at this juncture. And insofar, in all seriousness, as the needs of other sections, of the perceptions of other sections of the state in Juneau are concerned, let me say that during the 1982 election period, and I appreciate what the senator said, that this is not a capital move issue, but I must say that during that 1982 period, many of the advocates of the capital move said that the Juneau facilities for government are inadequate. And that was one of the premises on which proponents of the capital move argued their case, and as we all know, they lost their case by a majority vote, and I think we all accept that outcome as the will of the people of Alaska. Some of us may accept it with more or less grace, but we all know it was a fair fight, and the fight is over. Now, Mr. President, taking up from that point, some of the advocates of the capital move, in the wake of that election result, said that there ought to be a planning committee for a capital campus here in Juneau involving participation from all regions of the state, including Anchorage. And it is in that spirit, Mr. President, that I accepted your invitation to participate in the discussions about this facility. Because if there is going to be a facility, and I believe that the senator in his resolution has raised questions that should be addressed, and I welcome that, except that I have some trepidation about the impact on the Anchorage facility in my beautiful downtown Anchorage district, but that apart, I welcome that those questions being posed. But if there is going to be a facility, then it ought to be a facility that is not wasteful or extravagant, and it ought to be a facility that Alaskans can be proud of, and it ought to be a facility that meets the legitimate space requirements of the legislature. Now, Mr. President, I'm pleased to say that some of the concepts that had been discussed by the designers, conceptual designers of the facility, proposed to expend in excess of $100 million for construction costs. Consulting with many of my colleagues, I yesterday told the mayor of Juneau that it was the judgment of senators I have talked to and my own judgment that that is not a prudent approach to such a structure if it is going to be built. And as a result of that, in an informal working session yesterday, there was a tacit agreement, which I think will be formalized in February or March, to reduce the scope of the project by about $40 million in construction costs and eliminate some of the amenities that some of us think are too lush or lavish for this facility, an auditorium, an expanded cafeteria, meeting rooms that would duplicate the facilities at the Centennial Hall, a quiet room for meditation purposes. Maybe we need that, Mr. President. So I think that it is important that the Senate be represented, and I don't like to point with pride, but I will say to the Senate that I think already that participation has borne fruit in getting this project down to a reasonable size. I also ought to say, Mr. President, that I do not consider the issues to be quite as clear-cut as the proponent of the resolution says. I don't want to pass judgment on that. This is not the place for that. But I think that the statute 2405-190 speaks of control of facilities that exist. I'm not sure that it speaks to facilities that do not exist. And I think that distinction may have to be borne. And then finally, let me say that some of the apprehensions may be premature. As Senator Pettyjohn said, this will be a complicated financial package. And I think that a prudent investor probably will want a written expression from the legislature that indeed the space will be occupied before financing takes place. So I think the legislature and I'm glad to hear that Governor Sheffield is perhaps going to formalize his requests. But in any event, whether he did or not, I think the legislature would have to formally speak to that before in the business world, in the reality of the business world, we would see that construction occur. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Bennett seeking the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the same subject, if I might.
There's no objection.
Having not been invited to participate on it, my distinguished colleague from Anchorage was mentioning something about the Capitol campus site. Was there some consideration to move the Capitol north to Ock Bay on the campus? Or I don't understand what this was.
Mr. President, the
you have the floor, Senator.
The term campus I used as a quotation from an editorial in the Anchorage Times, which I often consult on this issue.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I request the privilege on the floor to speak on the same topic briefly.
You have a brief moment. You have the floor, Senator.
Well, if I have a brief moment, Mr. President, I know how you feel, because any moment you might not be there.
That is true.
If we get down to it, Mr. President, I've listened to the discussion. I wasn't going to say anything because there'll be plenty of time to argue and holler and rant and rave, I suppose. I'm not interested in doing that. Although some of the statements here are patently inaccurate. Some of them are personal opinions. Some of them are larded over with political expediency. And we all recognize that, and I don't find fault with that. If they can sell it at home, good enough. I was referred to, a reference was made to statements that I made on the floor. That's exactly what I said, because at the time, I didn't know what the money was going to be used for. There was considerations for a adjunct to the state office building over the hill. There was a consideration for an additional or a new public safety building. There are so many real needs for the capital city. In order to make it a good capital, in order for it to make it a place we can be more than proud of, that's the reason that the appropriation language was so broad, is because I didn't know what they were going to use it for at that time. If I'd known that they were going to use it for a capital building, I'd have put that in there, more than likely. So that, obviously, if I was a dupe, which apparently the senator from Anchorage is claiming me to be a dupe, I'm a willing dupe.
Further items in our special orders? You have the floor, Senator.
Now that we've cleared the air, Mr. President, I move we adjourn till 10 a.m. Friday.
Adjourn.